الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم في حديث مشهور ازهد في الدنيا يحبك الله وازهد فيما عند الناس يحبك الناس أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, today the Hadith Sharif that I will refer to is a narration in which Sahal bin Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala an reports that a companion, a man, came to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask a question about religion. And this companion, he said, Ya Rasulallah, dullani ala amalin iza amiltuhu ahabbani allahu wa ahabbani annas. That he asked the beloved Messenger that, Ya Rasulallah, please tell me of an act, please tell me of an action that I can do by which firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love me, and secondly the people around me will love me too. So quite clearly this is a beautiful question, a question of the best of both worlds, because in essence these are the two main aims that we wish for and yearn for, that firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his pleasure upon us, that he loves us, because when he loves us then he showers his blessings upon us. And in this world, for this temporary time that we are here, many people, in fact most people, would like a situation where people love them, people respect them, and they can get on with their lives without any difficulties, without any disunity, without any disruption. So a beautiful question from this companion of the Prophet. And in reply to this, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave one answer split into two parts. And the answer itself was reflective of what the person asked. He asked for something which by which people would love him, and secondly by which Allah would love him. So what did the Prophet say? Izhad fid dunya yuhibbak Allah. That renounce the world, ignore the world, turn away from the world, everything that you see in this world, the beauty of it, the temptations of it, turn your back on it. And when you turn your back on this world and remember that it is only temporary, then what will happen? Yuhibbaka Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And then the Prophet answered the second part to the question by saying, Izhad fima inda nas yuhibbaka nas. And then renounce and turn away from the things that people possess. For instance, you see that some people will have more power than you. You will see people have prestige, or they will have more money than you. And people naturally get jealous when they see what others possess, especially when they themselves do not possess it. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pay no consideration for what people have. Do not be saddened by your own situation when you compare it with what others have got. And what will happen as a result? Yuhibbaka an-nas. That people will start loving you. That people will show respect to you and admire you for the fact that you have renounced and you have turned your back regarding those things which other people possess. This Hadith Sharif, as long as with many other sayings of our beloved Messenger, and in addition to that, to many verses from the Holy Quran, form the basis of what we refer to in Islam as tasawwuf or Sufism. This idea that you have had the mutasawwifin, the Sufiya ikram, the Sufis who by nature, they pay very little attention to the material aspects of this world. And they are marked by a behavior which suggests that they are only occupied with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for some Muslims, this whole idea of Sufism perhaps started later in Islam. But what we learn from this Hadith Sharif is that Sufism is not something which is an innovation or something new in Islam. Rather, Sufism has its roots in the character and teachings of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by nature were Sufis. That they renounced the world and they had no had no respect for it, had no attention for it. Even the Holy Quran, when we look at some of the verses from the Holy Quran, we find that the message of Sufism, to turn away from this world, is quite clear for the Muslims to take guidance from. Just one example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kul mata'u dunya kaleel." That, oh beloved messenger, tell the people, "Mata'u dunya kaleel." The material of this world is very small. Kaleel means a small amount. Wal akhiratu khayrul liman ittaqa. And the akhirat, this is better for those people who have fear, those people who have taqwa. Now, we all know that when we look around in this world that we live in, there are so many bounties and blessings and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we see. That there is so much enjoyment for us. There is so much temptation that we see around us. When we go to the shops, then if you just want to buy a simple object, if you want to buy a simple good, then there are so much variety of that particular good. When we want to buy a car, then we are sometimes spoiled for choice which type of car to buy. We have so much choice. And particularly for us living in the West, that we are always surrounded by luxuries. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us is that reflect on everything in this world. Reflect on all the bounties and blessings and favors and luxuries that you have around us. We may consider this as a large amount and countless and abundant, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Mata'u dunya qaleel." That this is a very small amount. That for Him, this is absolutely nothing. And then so, Allah, He knows better what is in this world and what is in the akhirat. He is in a better position to compare what the akhirat awaits for us and what this world is. And He is saying that this, whatever you enjoy in this world, is a very small amount. And it is the akhirat that is kaseer for me. And that is kaseer for you. So from this we begin to appreciate that no matter how much a person can enjoy himself in this life, it is the smallest fractional percentage of what awaits for him in the akhirat if he pays attention to the Quran and Sunnah. But clearly that we are humans and we are weak by nature. We are always tempted, we always see many goods that we perhaps would like to own. It is very difficult, although the Prophet made it very clear in this hadith that we should ignore the world and turn our backs on it and rather concentrate on Allah and His beloved messenger. In practice, this is very difficult for us to do. This is something which perhaps only the most pious and the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can actually do. How can we change our attitude? How can we try to change this behavior of ours so that we are more inclined towards the akhirat? Three different points that I'd like to mention. Firstly, one other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he gave comparison between this world and the akhirah. And he drew a misal, he drew an analogy between them. And he said in a famous hadith, "Mali walid dunya," that what connection, what do I have with this world? "Innama masali wa masala dunya ka masala raqibe," that my example, like the example of the world, of this world that we live in, is like the example of a traveler. "Istazalla tahta shajara summa raha wa tarakaha," that a traveler, he is performing a long journey, and to get to that destination it is a very long distance, but on the way he decides to rest under a tree for a while. And the purpose of resting is so that he can regain his energy, he can charge himself up again, and then he can continue with that journey. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this world for you all is like that tree under which you are resting under for a short period of time. And in the same way, a traveler would not think that this tree is the end of his journey, that he knows that the journey lies elsewhere and he has to complete it. In exactly the same way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to teach us that this is a temporary stop for you. That in the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should be a small step for you. It should not be something in which you indulge in forever. Take an example, if a person was to move to another country, for instance, if he was to move to Pakistan, India, and he decided that he was going to stay there for 3-4 years, and he was preparing his luggage to make this journey, imagine that on the way, because of the airline that he has taken, he has to stop, for instance, in Dubai for 2 days. So he knows he is going to Pakistan or India for 3-4 years, and he's only staying in Dubai for 2 days. And he is packing his suitcases, and he has 3 suitcases, and he decides to pack 2.5 suitcases for the 2 days that he spends in Dubai, and he leaves very little luggage for Pakistan. Imagine what you would say to this person, that you are only spending 2 days in Dubai, and you are preparing all your luggage for that, and you are spending much longer in Pakistan and India, and you have prepared nothing for that. And exactly the same way, that is what we are doing sometimes, that by indulging ourselves in this world so much, we are being like that traveller who is very short-sighted, and he does not realize that his destination lies elsewhere. Likewise, there is another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which helps us to stop this jealousy and envy that we sometimes feel when we see that people have more possessions than us, then they have more wealth than us, they have bigger cars and bigger bank accounts than us. The Prophet gave us very simple advice. He said that when you see someone in worldly possessions who has more than you, then at that moment think of those people who have less than you. Remember those people who are less fortunate than you. And as soon as you do that, you automatically will say Alhamdulillah. That rather than thinking of the things that you do not have in your life, that you do not have a bigger car than this person, you are not as important or wealthy or prestigious as this person, at that moment think to yourself, perhaps I don't have this car, perhaps I don't have this wealth and prestige, but at least I have a roof over my head. At least I have food on my table every night. And how many people are there in this world who do not have these basic provisions? 1 in 6 people in this world at this moment do not have clean water. And this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged. He said that look at those people who are less fortunate than you. And when you do that, then you will automatically start thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will not be overcome by jealousy and by envy. Lastly, one point that I think is worthy of mention is something which Imam Sha'rawi rahmatullah alayhi says, an Egyptian scholar, and he said that whenever I would see a beautiful house, or I would see a beautiful car, or anything which is man-made and it was beautiful, and it was not in my own possession, then automatically I would praise, I would say Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, to that object created. Why? Because I would think to myself that if this is a house, a perfect, beautiful mansion that has been created by man, which brings so much joy to people that look around, then I think to myself straight away that if this is so beautiful and it has been created by man, imagine those ni'mats which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the akhirat. Imagine how beautiful they will be. Regardless of how many humans actually gather to make something, a house or a car or any kind of product, then obviously they are limited in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He creates someone. So he says that automatically to stop that feeling of jealousy and rather to change that into a feeling of happiness and praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think to myself that this is very small in comparison to what Allah will manufacture and create for us in the akhirat for those people who believe in Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to renounce this world and to concentrate on the journey towards the akhirah. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubeen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدين والدنيا والآخرة. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.